Welcome back, everybody, to another fantastic episode of the Every Pokemon Episode Ever podcast. We're back to our roots, everybody. I am one half of the E-Peep team, Professor Chris G. And on the other line is my rock and roll buddy. It's good old Dougie Fresh. Dougie, my man, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. I am happy to be sitting down and getting back into the swing of a regular episode after our nice little chat diversion last week. We're hitting the ground running with some black and white episode action this week. And yeah, I'm excited to get back into the our little groove where we were before we took our little farewell to Ash break.
Absolutely. And let me just say, and I'm glad during our Poke break last week that we chose this episode to come back to, because boy, was this a good episode to come back to. I'm sitting down and even my wife was like, she's like, the graphics are shitty, but she's like, this is not a bad episode. And I was like, well, this episode was made like 12 years ago. I was like, we're dealing with old technology now, animation wise, than we are today. So,
yeah, but it was cutting edge for the time.
Yeah, it was. Especially the rocks falling behind Ash. I was like, I kind of feel like that was more computer based than it was people drawing it in, because those rocks in the background dropping was just too smooth.
Yeah, I would hope so. Otherwise, I'd love to see the process of those getting hand drawn.
Yeah, for real. So, how are you doing, bro? Peek behind the curtain. We're doing this on a special Sunday. This is a Sunday edition, even though you guys listening at home don't know any difference. But we're recording on a different day today, Doug.
We are. It's just a matter of, you know, making it work with our schedules and, yes, you know, making sure that we're able to commit the proper amount of time and energy to these episodes, because we just don't want to be chucking them out. So
absolutely. For a second, I thought we were going to end up playing catch up. And I was like, come on. I was like, I need to figure something out. Cause, I'll admit it. So my schedule has kind of changed recently with some great news. I mean, I don't need to go into it here on the podcast, but, my schedule as of right now has me on a completely different sleep schedule. So it's just knocking these out on a weekday. I have to get used to my schedule, because otherwise I'm falling asleep at 9 p.m. like a normal person.
Like a normal. There you go. Yeah.
So I'm getting home. I'm balls tired and I'm just like, damn, I cannot keep my eyes open. And we were supposed to do this yesterday, and people that listen to us know we're from the Illinois area. So I spent the day at the Brookfield Zoo yesterday, and then I got home and I just messaged you. I was like, yo, today's not gonna work. I am so tired. I got so many steps in. It was hot for once, and then today we dropped down to freaking 40 degrees, and I'm like, what the hell is going on? It was 80 degrees yesterday, bro.
Yeah.
And it's 45 today. Like, what the hell? And we're getting snow tomorrow. Like
hey, you shut up. If you keep saying it, it's going to happen, but...
Well, according...
Maybe if we don't...
According to my weather app, it is happening, and I'm not too happy about it, but...
It was an interesting day yesterday, because we had, like you said, we had tentatively planned to do it on Saturday. So I texted you. I said, hey, what's the plan? And you had a momentary break, and you're like, well, I called an audible because we were supposed to go to the zoo tomorrow, which would be today. And you're like, well, there's shit in the forecast, so we decided to go today, which you made the right call.
Yes.
I was like, well, I'll keep you updated, and maybe we can figure something out when I get home. And I got off the phone, and to myself, I said, ain't no way we're recording tonight, because he's going to be fucking exhausted. And lo and behold.
I was.
And I was, and you know, that's fine. And you texted today and you're like, how's your 4 p.m.? And I was like, fine. That's perfect. Because I can knock this out and then I can grab a quick sandwich or something for dinner. It's not a big deal. And yeah, like you said, I mean, we don't have to go into it. And I especially don't have to get into it because it's, you know, it's not for me to get into, but we will kind of be playing the recordings by ear. I don't think is a pun, but I definitely didn't mean it to be. and we will figure out our new normal. I'm not concerned about that at all.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. And my plan is to not skip a week, to at least like find like 2 hours to be able to sit down and not be so tired to where my voice will end up boring everybody that's out there, but just to have that nice little sit down and to be able to record. And if we do miss a week, I mean, the people on the free feed won't feel it at all. And as long as it's only 1 week, we're pretty good at doubling up at like when we need to. So, I mean, hopefully we don't miss 2 weeks, but I'm going to knock on wood right now. Yep. And I just hit that right now that we don't miss 2 weeks, because then we might be in a little bit of trouble. But otherwise, we're good. Yeah, good. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll be fine. I'm not worried about it.
So what sucks about being on the type of schedule that we are, because we used to record like almost months in advance and we would just be dropping, but then we'd have stuff that would come out that wouldn't be too relevant. And then by the time people actually heard the episodes, they're like, oh, we know all this already. So yeah. we took some time off during that time. And I think we actually took about a month off because we had recorded so far in advance. And thanks to the pandemic, we were able to do that. But we kind of took a break back, and now as you're hearing these episodes is when like current things are happening. And especially if you're on our Patreon, you get to hear this stuff first, at least 3 to 4 weeks in advance. And it's nice to be kind of caught up, but on the other end, it's a little detriment when you can't record for a week, because then you're kind of struggling like, oh crap, we gotta find time to sit down and get this done. Right, Doug?
Right. and that's kind of the thought that I had, because you were kind enough to give me a heads up on what would have been our record day this week. You're like, hey, you know, with the schedule and, you know, I'm going to bed basically around the time that we'd be like in the middle of an episode. And, you know, you're like, I'm probably leaning towards, you know, sometime this weekend. I was like, perfect, fine. What, you know, that's all good. I don't, you know, and I even said to you, I was like, I don't want to be taking away your time from the family. And you're like, I'm not worried about that. This is me telling you what I'd like to do. And I was like, that's fine. And, you know, I'm fine with, if the weekends have to be our new normal, I'm fine with that. You know, because if we do that, we have 2 days to play with.
Yes.
Whether it's Saturday or it's Sunday.
Absolutely. And the only thing that would come in between that would be a birthday weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So, which might happen sooner than later, because my daughter is coming up on one. But right. We'll, like I said, we'll play that by ear. We'll try to plan in advance. Everything will be good. And all you out there listening to the podcast, you won't, like I said, you won't feel any of this at all. So
just lie back.
Especially on the free feed, because there's at least already like 4 or 5 episodes in the can for you guys, as opposed to the people on the Patreon, where we literally have one episode in the can before it gets released every single week. So we're recorded 1 week in advance for our Patreon listeners. So that's how relevant we like to keep it.
So yeah, and I mean, you know, it's funny that you brought up birthdays, because I possibly might be in the same boat at the end of the end of the month. Well, the end of the month is only a couple weeks away at this point, so I will have to kind of keep you updated.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I mean, so if it has to be Saturday, and if it has to be Sunday, if we have to grit our teeth and do a weekday and just have it be like a little early, I mean, we will figure it out. We're two semi-intelligent people. We can figure out a schedule.
Absolutely. So, but how are you doing though? Anything new in Doug's world?
I mean, you know, baseball season is starting up. Hockey and basketball playoffs are getting going. Basketball playoffs started. If you don't count the play-in tournament, they started yesterday. Hockey playoffs start tomorrow, so it's going to be crazy.
And is it me, or did the NHL get some type of deal? Because I'm starting to see them a little bit more on TV these days.
Yeah, they got a nice deal. I want to say 2 years ago with ESPN. So ESPN got hockey back for the first time in like 10 years. And then they got a nice deal with Turner, which, as it relates to wrestling, kind of
has a priority,
right? I mean, we've seen in recent times the AEW Friday Night Show has been kind of moved around for the 20 people that still watch that.
For real.
Don't
let me forget. And I mean, it's not the podcast, but I have some stuff that I want to say about some wrestling in the past like 4 or 5 days that I've been listening to that I want to talk to you about off air. So don't let me forget after we're done with our Pokemon. So
yeah, you are on the nose about hockey kind of getting a little bit more shine because it is the playoffs. And you know, for somebody that doesn't watch hockey on a regular basis, playoff hockey is so much more different and intense, and you know, like everything matters just that much more, and you know, you grind for 82 games to get down to the point where it's like you have 4 games to keep the momentum going. You know, well, a minimum of 4, obviously. And, you know, series can live and die, you know, in one shift. I mean, it's craziness. And, I mean, people say that the Stanley Cup is the hardest trophy to win. And, I mean, if you kind of break it down on a macro level, there might be an argument, but...
Okay.
Like you said earlier, this isn't the podcast because, you know, we could derail
a
couple weeks, but in terms of talking about stuff that isn't the podcast,
1000%. So, all right. Well, we do have a great episode that we chose to come back to, and it's pretty freaking nice. And Team Rocket was one of the main focuses, and they actually look pretty good in this episode. So I was pretty happy to see them get some shine. And are you ready to kind of jump on into this episode?
I am ready. I'm excited to be back on Pokemon TV for Black and White for the first time in a long time.
You say that now, and they're going to take it off next week.
I mean, they were going to do it anyway. No, it was going to happen. I mean, we don't know when they brought it back because we were in our own little bubble with Ash's farewell.
Yeah, they snuck it back in there. They're like, oh, they're taking a break. Okay, we can put them on for free now. So
yeah, here's 2 seasons worth of stuff that you're not covering right now.
So, I swear the Pokemon Company listens to what we know they do, because ShowPro is on our radar now. So
I was going to say somebody does, somebody maybe not higher up, but there's an intern that gets coffee that one half of his job is, hey, keep track of, you know, X, Y, and Z podcasts, and we're on that list.
Yeah, I believe we're on that list now. So. All right. Well, that being said, I have the episode up right here. I got it muted on my end. I got some subtitles up because subtitles are beautiful when they're on Pokemon.com.
And they're in English, just saying, just, yes. you know, I mean, I enjoyed what we covered, but it's nice to know when they're referring to a rock and roll and when they're referring to a freaking, gosh darn it. Tepig. I was trying to, I was like, any of Ash's other Pokemon and nothing was coming.
Yes. And Tepig got some work in this episode.
He did. He did a little bit.
So, all right, everybody. So we start this week's episode with Roggenrola coming out of a cave, and it looks like it's kind of an abandoned cave, and it looks like it's worried. It's running. And it runs straight into a forest. And then that's when we're met up with Ash, Cylon, and Iris. They're sitting down having lunch. And Ash looks like he's eating what looks like an apple pie. I don't think it's an apple pie, but it looks like an apple pie. And
yeah.
do you have anything better that he could be eating, Doug?
My knee-jerk reaction when I first saw it the other day was a slice of pizza, but then I was like, no, because it's too open.
Yeah, and that would be more of a Chicago-style pizza.
Which I don't believe has made it out to Unova.
No, I really don't. Especially in the time crunch that Cylon has. I don't see him having an open oven in his backpack. But it wouldn't surprise me.
You can't be walking into a Giordano's and be starving.
For real. So Ash is, he's like, man, this is the best I've ever eaten. And it must be pie, because this is where Cylon goes. He's like, I simply gathered some berries from the forest. He's like,
oh, there you go,
and blended them into this nice little pastry. And he's like, the secret to any good recipe is always super fresh. So we're back to the food puns, Doug. So
now but I'll give him a pass because he's literally like cooling down from cooking a meal. I will give him a pass.
Absolutely.
There's something, it's coming up. I don't remember if it's at the end or
it's
towards the end. Okay, it's in the middle. That's when I threw my hands up. But I'll give him a pass here.
I know which line you're talking about, too. And when we get to it, I'm going to pass it over to you. But then we get a camera view from inside of the grass. And it's like speeding towards our heroes right here. And then all of a sudden, Roggenrola just jumps out. And when it jumps up, it jumps right on top of the table. And it just plats right on top of the table. And when it hits the table, the salad goes one way, the pie goes another way. And Cylon is just mad. He's like, oh no, my food, it's been ruined by destruction time.
Yeah, I mean, the poor guy's fit to be tied, and you know, Roggenrola is just on the table, just Roggenrola, like he's trying to get their attention, and you know, he's jumping around, and it didn't take long to get frustrated with Ash, because the Roggenrola is literally prancing in front of you saying Roggenrola, Roggenrola, Roggenrola. Ash goes, what's that Pokemon? Motherfucker.
Open your ears. Is there a Pokemon? I'm trying to think if there's a Pokemon that actually doesn't say its name.
I'm sure there's been a handful of like
that kind of roars or barks or
air something. And like dog and yeah, like the growls and barks and stuff. But
Roggenrola is literally saying its name.
Yeah, Roggenrola is literally jumping around saying Roggenrola, Roggenrola. But I guess, you know, it's an excuse for Dexter to pay for itself. And we find out that Roggenrola is a
mantle
Pokemon. and Rock and Roller's body contains an energy core, which is hard as steel from being compressed underground. And Ash is like, well, what do you know? It's a Rock and Roller.
Yeah, Rock and Roller just jumps up and down on the table. And he's like, Rock and Roller, Rock and Roller, Rock and Roller. And then we jump into the damn theme song. And there is no skip button.
No, not on Pokemon.com. I mean, I like the convenience. But yeah, I kind of miss the skip button from Amazon.
Yeah. And the skip button from the other site that we were watching, the farewell episodes, because even those websites were like, okay, we'll throw in where the theme song is so you don't have to listen to it 11 times. So
y'all are used to Netflix by now. We should have a skip button.
Yeah, for real. Come on, Pokemon. I know you're behind the times a little bit, but come on.
Oh, come on. You keep shit-talking them like that. They're going to take it down tomorrow.
Hey, well, we'll be done with the episode by then, because next week we're back to Kanto.
This is true. This is... Aha.
Aha. So I don't really care. So we bounce back. And I didn't even mention. So the episode is called Gotta Catch That Rock and Roller. And I will have the description of when this episode dropped towards the end, because I do not have it up right now and I don't want to disrupt the flow of the episode. But Rock and Roller is still stomping around on the table. And the narrator even seems like he's a little ticked off. He's like, man, he's stomping off for lunch on their way to Nimbasa City. And he's like, our heroes have suddenly run into a feisty Rock and Roller. And then Rock and Roller is just jumping. And Ash is like, man, it already wrecked our food, so we don't have any time to eat anymore. So, you know what? I'm going to catch this Rock and Roller. And he sends out his Oshawott. Oshawott looks so, so confident. And I was dying at this part, because Oshawott just gets the shit bucket all the time. I swear to God he does. But he's like, all right, Oshawott, use water gun. And Oshawott uses water gun, and Rock and Roller takes a pan that the salad was in, kicks it up right in front of its face, and kind of like sucks it in. And the water gun hits the pan and goes right back into Oshawott's face and just blasts him right in the face, knocking him over. Doug?
And he tells Oshawott to use
Aqua Jet.
Oh, goodness gracious. Aqua Jet. I was like, I know that move. They had like three episodes about it. Yeah, so he has him use Aqua Jet, and you know, Oshawott's going in because he's more focused now. But like literally right before it hits, Rock and Roller like takes one step to the right, and Oshawott just crashes into the table, and he's got the anime circles, so he's out.
So he's mastered Aqua Jet, but hasn't mastered how to like glide it yet.
No, that's another three episodes. You know, these things take time.
For real.
So Cylon and Iris are watching, and Iris is like, well, that's one tough Rock and Roller. And Cylon happens to notice, because the Rock and Roller has its back to him, that there's something attached to the Rock and Roller. It kind of looks like trying to simplify this, it's almost like
a suction cup
or like a cap, like a cover kind of cap thing that you would put on like a pen almost.
Yes.
And Silence like, what in the world is that? And, you know, Ash is, like, in battle mode, so he doesn't see. He's got, like, tunnel vision. So he calls back Oshawott, because obviously Oshawott is, you know, out cold. And Rock and Roll is still jumping around trying to, like, get Ash's attention other than for a battle. And Ash is like, oh, yeah, I have my Tepig. And He tells
boy, does he have that Tepig?
And he tells Tepig to use tackle, and the Rock and Rollers just gives him the old olay. And Ash is like, "All right, fine, flame charge." And Tepig gets up ahead of steam, and he comes out of the dust, and he just nails his Rock and Roller. And in the process of taking the full force of the flame charge, we see that whatever was the Rock and Roller has been jarred loose, because we see the piece flying behind him.
Yes.
And Rock and Roller lands on his feet, and they're like, "Wow, that's one sturdy Rock and Roller." And everybody's kind of floored, and Iris has to turn into a like Pokemon encyclopedia, and she's like, "Fire type moves aren't effective," and you should know that. And Ash is like, "Fine, we'll use tackle," which didn't work the first 7 times I tried it. And Iris, she's fit to be tied. She's like, "You're such a," just like, she's literally almost jumping up and down like Rock and Roller. And
Ash is learning just like she's learning dragon types. I mean, we had a whole episode of her and her Axew just not being on the same page at all. And her Excadrill,
yes. Which we do see here, funny enough. Well, not now, but in a few moments.
Yes.
So as Tepig is getting ready for a tackle, Rock and Roller literally just pieces out and burrows into the ground and kicks up a sandstorm. And Ash is like, "Hang in there, Tepig." And Tepig's hanging in there. And Rock and Roller fires up with
Stone Edge.
And Tepig catches one right in the chin, and Silent's like, "That was incredibly powerful." And Ash is trying to will Tepig to stand up, and Tepig's like, "Cause if any struggles," and it looks like he's gonna get, and then he just kind of bleh. And
and that's literally how he has a smile on his face as he's laying down too, which I thought was pretty funny.
which I mean, who among us hasn't been there? I mean, I'm saying. So Tepig is out, and they run over to old Tepig and like, "Are you okay?" And he's got that pained look, and he's still got the swirls. And Iris is like, "We got to get him help quick. We'd better find a Pokemon Center." So they just take off, and Rock and Roller is still stomping his feet, going, "Rock and Roller, Rock and Roller." Like, and as Ash is kind of running away, I'm sure he's thinking, "Well, that, Rock and Roller is kind of, spiking the football kind of hard, isn't he?" But obviously, you and I know why.
Yes.
As a viewer, as a viewer that's watching this like live, which you fine listeners might be, you might be confused. But
I mean a little bit, but I mean, it's pretty clear that Rock and Roller is in some type of distress. And I think Ash kind of senses that just a little bit, but he doesn't. I mean, he has to go help his Pokemon because he didn't catch Rock and Roller. This is a wild Rock and Roller, so.
Well, and the Rock and Roller didn't run away either.
Yeah, so I think Ash has his suspicions, but we transfer over from that and we go over to the Pokemon Center. And it's funny because they made sure to draw in a water truck on the side of the Pokemon Center, as we're about to see in just a moment.
Son of a bitch.
Oh, you didn't notice that the first time.
Notice that watching the movie.
So they,
son of a gun.
So they drew in a water truck right in the front, and then we see our heroes inside, and they're all kind of sitting down being defeated. And then all of a sudden we hear the dun 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 dun, and everybody kind of looks up, and Nurse Joy, who looks actually pretty nice. This is one of the nicer looking Nurse Joys. I mean, she,
okay, Brock.
No, well, yeah. But no, they drew her like pretty nice. Like she has two loops in her hair. Her hair is kind of parted to the side, and then she's rocking a light purple. What color would that be? What is light purple?
Or that would be lavender, in my book.
Okay, lavender. So she has a nice little lavender cross on her hat. And
I noticed that. I noticed the cross colors. I don't notice water trucks. That's all.
Well, you've been trained on the on the crosses. But Nurse Joy comes out and she's like, "Your Pokemon are all feeling better now." And Audino is right next to her and she's like, "Yes, yes, yes." And Ash's like, "Oh, thanks, Nurse Joy. Thank you." And he takes the Pokeballs, and then we have the plumber come out, and the plumber is like, "All right, Nurse Joy, there's nothing wrong with your plumbing that I can find." He's like, "The problem could be with the original water source itself." And Nurse Joy is like, "Oh, that's too bad." And then I'm not going to read this word for word, but they go into basically say that the Nurse Joy gets her water and the rest of the city gets their water from a specific well and from a tunnel. So there's a tunnel that has some fresh water that runs through, and it kind of purifies itself, and it's good enough to drink and to cleanse everything with. So something must be clogging the main source. And Nurse Joy is like, "Yeah, Mr. Garrison, who is the plumber, came over, and we haven't had any water for the past few hours, and I thought that something was wrong with the plumbing, but it's not." And that's when Mr. Garrison says that something must have taken place inside of the cave, and that he's going to go on over to the cave and try to figure it out himself so he can make a report. And at this point, Ash, Silent, and Iris are there, and they're like, "Well, we don't have anything going on today, so we can go over and help you look inside of this cave." And Garrison is like, "Oh, that'll be pretty helpful. That'll be great." And then they go and they start taking off. They also mention about Roggenrola being inside of that cave,
mm-hmm.
and that it might be a problem in there, and that people have been seeing Roggenrola around, but they're not quite sure why. So
and Ash mentions that they had a run-in with a Roggenrola just a few moments ago, and Mr. Garrison says, "Well, that's very weird. Not a lot of people encounter Roggenrolas in the wild."
Yes. So it's at this point that they all agree. They're like, "All right, well, I'm going to go over and investigate." And Ash and the crew is like, "Yeah, we'll come too." And then Pikachu is like, "Yeah, let's go." So it's from here that they lead on out of the Pokemon Center. And I'm going to hand this next part over to you with Roggenrola talking to all the wild Pokemon inside of the forest, Doug.
So yeah, we come in and we have like this forest Pokemon like town hall, and Roggenrola is like, he's holding court. And I mean, we see a Patrat. Well, we see a couple Patrats. We see help me.
We see a Blitzel, a Patrat. Let me rewind just a little bit. We see Deerling. We see a Mencino. Let's see Venipede. So yes, those are your Pokemon, Doug.
So yeah, the Roggenrola is, you know, holding court, obviously explaining, you know, what the situation is. And then we hear a loud noise and everybody scatters. And
these
we go, I'm sorry?
I said, these chicken.
Well, you know, they're wild Pokemon. They don't know any better. And we go inside the cave and we see a bunch of Roggenrola attempting to flee, and then they're immediately caught and dragged backward into the darkness. And this is when we get our first glimpse of Team Rocket, and they are driving a machine. And then we get the Team Rocket. No, I was going to say we get the motto, but we don't. We actually get an explanation. And it starts with Meowth. And he's like, we've got all the Roggenrola we need. And then James is like, you know, with the help of this amazing machine that, or this amazing weapon that Dr. Zanger has designed, he's like, with it, we can unleash unspeakable power, and we just need the Roggenrola to power it. And Jesse's like, once our work is complete, we'll be able to control the whole Unova region. And they're like, let's finish the job and do it for the boss. And the machine fades back into the darkness. And then we cut back to Mr. Garrison and our heroes arriving at the cave. And Silent is like, this is the water source? And Garrison's like, yeah.
Yep. And Garrison's like, yep, this is that. There's no doubt. And then they see the Roggenrola jump out and they're like, oh, there's Roggenrola. And so Silent's like, so it was trying to tell us something after all. And
oh, shit.
And it is walking into the tunnel, and Ash has the bright idea. I mean, this is I'm still gonna say this is young Ash. This is not championship Ash. But, so Ash is like, I think it wants us to follow it into the cave. I just started laughing.
Attaboy.
So Ash starts running in after it, and they come to a part of the tunnel that has been closed off. So it seems like a bunch of rocks have fallen from the ceiling and have blocked the anything from getting through. And Mr. Garrison's like, man, these boulders are why the Pokemon Center isn't getting any water right now. And Iris is like, man, I wonder how they got there. You mean, oh geez, I wonder. I mean, you might want to just look up. I mean, you're in a cave. So all of a sudden, out of nowhere, crashing out of the wall is Team Rocket's big, gigantic truck, and it comes crashing out, and Iris is like, what is that? And Ash is like, oh, man, Axe you! And then it has the big Team Rocket logo, and then it's at this point that an arm reaches out of the truck, and Roggenrola is like, oh no, not again, and it's trying to run away, but it still has the little piece that's, oh no, it has a new piece that's on it now. It goes over and it clamps onto the back of Roggenrola, and then brings Roggenrola right back over to the truck. And then it's at this point and was like, oh no, we gotta save that Roggenrola. So Ash says, all right, it's time. Oh, no. He's like, what's the meaning of this? And then that's when we get Team Rocket kind of explaining that they are on a mission to collecting all these Roggenrola. And then they go through their motto. And let's see. And they kind of look like badasses. They're all like kind of highlighted in some pink, and they got some gloss to them. Meowth even looks kind of like a boss as he comes in through the middle. And Jesse and James continue their motto at this point, and James is like, I am the Thunder. And with thunderous emotion, I am James. And Meowthy's like, and the wisest of the wise, I am Meowth. And they're like, and now we gather under the name Team Rocket. And of course, we always have to have that one person go, well, who is Team Rocket? Which is Mr. Garrison. And Iris is like, they're a group of annoying bad people. Who go around stealing other people's Pokemon. And Axew, it doesn't even say Axew. He's like, ew, ew.
Yeah, very appropriate.
And James kind of took offense to that. He's like, annoying bad people. He's like, I think someone needs to go back and learn a few manners. And Meowth is like, excuse me, but these are wild Roggenrola we've been gathering, which is true.
It's a fair point, you know.
Yeah. So they literally caught the, I mean, they didn't catch them, but they took wild Roggenrola, which, in a way, aren't wild Pokemon kind of free game for anyone?
Well, yeah. I mean, what do you think catching a Pokemon is?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, yeah. So they're just using unconventional means to catch a Pokemon. And I think if they would have phrased it like that, I mean, Team Rocket is being damned by the reputation at that point.
Yes, they really are. So Team Jesse goes in and says that they need this last Roggenrola to power up this machine in a way to help them come up with their dastardly plan, which they're not saying what exactly that plan is, but that they can use this machine to get into the core of the Roggenrola, as we heard from the Pokédex, and bring out their mysterious power that is held inside of them to create, basically destruction. And they're going to try to rule the Unova region at this point.
Which Jesse literally just said, 5 minutes ago.
Yes. So Ash is like, so Roggenrola was really trying to tell us all about this. And Roggenrola is still kind of hanging there. And that's when Team Rocket is like, yeah, you're boring us now, so have a nice day. And Ash throws out his Tepig, tells Tepig to use Ember Attack. And it's at this point, it melts off the arm that's holding the wild Roggenrola right before it gets put into this little case. And Roggenrola drops down into Ash's arms. Doug, I'm going to hand it on over to you, my brother.
Pretty flimsy piece of machinery. If it can be melted by Tepig's ember, not even like the secondary evolution.
Yeah, for real. I mean, and I think they were accounting for Pikachu and not Tepig.
Ah.
So that might be the reason.
Okay, so they're screwed either way, whether it's a shoddy piece of machinery or shoddy planning.
Yes.
But yes, yeah, so Ash is able to catch the Roggenrola, and James is like, ah, okay, so the twerp got one. I don't think we're going to lose any sleep. We've got a lot more, and Jesse's like, yes, this is becoming a huge waste of time, and, Meowth is apparently at the controls, and he backs up, and, and they're like, oh, we got to stop you. And Meow's like, you're not even going to get the chance. And he juts out some arms that hit the walls and cause a instant rock slide.
Have some and spiked anvils on those as well. Just whack. Just some with great power.
Like mechanical maces. I mean, it's like medieval.
Yeah.
And then, of course, as the rocks are coming plummeting down, that's a perfect time for the Who's That Pokemon. And thankfully, there's some sanity in the world because the Who's That Pokemon is Roggenrola. I mean, how easy would it have been for them to be like, it's Deerling, like that we saw for 2 seconds.
No. It's Mew.
Just randomly just
threw it.
Yeah. not even in this generation.
For real.
So, yes, it's Rock'n'Rolla. And we come back and, you know, they're still in the middle of a rock slide. And Rock'n'Rolla uses
Stone Edge
to no, that was Flash Cannon.
Oh, Flash Cannon. My bad. Yes.
To break up the rocks. And I mean, I'm not taking a pat on the back for that. The only reason I knew that was because Silent had enough decency to say it. And Silent's like, he saved us. And
sometimes Silent is good for something.
Well, he's good for a lot of things. Just a lot of it revolves around food puns that don't fit. You know, the Rock'n'Rolla is, you know, he's upset. And I mean, now we know why he's upset, because his brethren are being taken away. And Ash is like, well, there's no way we're going to let Team Rocket get away with this. And Pikachu's like shaking his fist, like, fucking A right. And, Gene backing out, and it stops. And they kind of break down the what gives the Rock'n'Rolla its power, you know, and it's the core that lies deep inside the Rock'n'Rolla. And they're like, all right, now it's time to begin, because we're out of the cave and we have a bigger range. And Jesse's like, all right, Meowth, put the Rock'n'Rolla to the test. And Meowth is, you know, he pushes up a lever, and we see all the Rock'n'Rolla are being drained of their energy, and it's being focused in the machine. And Meowth's like, focusing, preparing, and he aims at the top of the
cave.
Entrance to the cave,
and blocks everyone.
We see, it causes an instant closure.
Avalanche!
Partially because they stop, because they're like, what's that light? If they would have just kept going,
they would have made it out of there.
And, you know, all the energy is ready, and they're like, fire the cannon! And Meowth fires, and just all of that energy being shot right at the top of the cave. And I don't know how they don't get knocked off their feet, but whatever, it's a kid's show. And
well, Rock'n'Rolla was literally standing right there, and it was about to get crushed, and Ash just runs over and grabs Rock'n'Rolla, and Iris is like, Ash, no! And Ash is like, well, I'm saving this Rock'n'Rolla.
So, I have to, because it's my show.
So he literally grabs Rock'n'Rolla, and he has the scariest look. They should have used that as part of the intro, because that right there is like an action scene. Like, he grabbed it and he's just running. He's like, oh my god, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And well, all the rocks are falling right behind it.
I tell you what, you can capitalize on their mistake. That could be the thumbnail for this episode.
It could have. Yes. 1,000%. You know what? And I might make it the thumbnail for this episode. There you go.
So James is sitting there. He's like, that was more power than predicted. That's a complete success. And Team Rocket's like, all right, let's move. And they shut the cannon, and they turn and they start driving off. And
you want to know what bugs me real quick?
Bugged you.
So they have enough slots to fill, including the Rock'n'Rolla that they don't have inside of this cave. Did they know how many Rock'n'Rolla were inside of this cave that they couldn't have gotten another adjacent Rock'n'Rolla to fill that one slot?
Well, you know, my obvious answer is it's a kid show.
Yes. Yes, it is a
kid and show. I mean, even what did we decide? This was 2011.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, about 2010, 2011.
So, like, even with the technology, leaps and bounds better than it was in 99, 2000, I still don't think they were anticipating stuff like being able to be pulled up and played and paused on demand.
True. True. I mean, but wasn't this around the time of YouTube anyway, when YouTube was first starting to be... Well, no, YouTube...
Well, YouTube was 05. YouTube was... So, I mean, yes, but... Still, I mean, we're sitting here going through it with a fine-tooth comb. Like, yeah. We have the ability to pause it and count the spots.
True. And Pokemon TV, I believe, was not even a thing during this time. It couldn't have been.
No, it couldn't have been. You're right.
So, okay. All right. So, it's at this point in the episode that our heroes are trapped inside of this cave, and... And our good plumber, he's sitting here, and Mr. Garrison's like, he's like, man, they are such bad people with such horrible weapons. He's like, and not only that, how are we going to get out of this cave? And that's when Iris pops up, and she's like, oh, don't sweat it, Mr. Garrison. I get a kick out of that.
Yeah, I can't do it. I can't take it seriously.
because of South Park. But, she's like, yeah, don't sweat it, Mr. Garrison. I got it. And she just takes her Pokeball and she goes, Escadrille, come on out. And Escadrille comes out and it's all sharp. And she's like, dig us out of here. And and hear me out. I like how they used Escadrille. But couldn't Escadrille just have drilled through the rocks that was like kind of enclosed or kind of enclosed them? A little bit.
Well, you know, probably, but you got to fill 20 minutes.
Yeah, but it would have taken the same amount of play time for them to just go right. Well, no, I guess if they went through the middle, it could collapse again, and that can cause. Okay, they don't want people to reenact this, so okay, let's dig a tunnel and not get sued for any child that tries to go through a cave and gets stuck.
Okay. You could still dig it. You could still have a couple of snot-nosed kids dig an unsturdy tunnel.
Yeah, they could, but what's the likelihood that they're going to dig a hole in their house and go to the outside?
I know I didn't do it.
I didn't do it either. So it's at this point that Silent sends out his Pantsage, and he's like, you too! Pantsage is like, well, I don't dig, but I'll help. So
yeah, I'll do it because you called me out here. I don't want to look like a punk, but I'm a grass type. I'm not really a rock type.
Yes. So Pantsage and Escadrille, they dig a nice little hole, and the next time we see our heroes, they're climbing out of the hole. And they're on the outside of the cave now. And they're like, oh, thank you, Escadrille. And thank you, Pantsage. And it's at this point, Ash comes up with the bright idea. And he's like, now we've got to figure out where Team Rocket went. And Rock and Roll is the Rock and Roller. And just starts jumping down the road. And Ash is like, oh, I think Rock and Roller came up with a scent. It's about his friends. And... Mr. Garrison's like, Rock and Roller knows where they are. He's like, the fact is, Rock and Roller are incredibly sensitive to sound. Okay, so not a scent, sound.
Sound.
Yes. So
vibrations, you know.
So it can get the vibrations of the Rock and Roller that have just taken off, so Rock and Roller can find the rest of its Rock and Roller friends. So Ash is like, all right, great, let's go. And they start running down the road. Rock and Roller is leading them, and Rock and Roller is just going, ha, ha, ha. And our heroes are right behind them. And then Rock and Roller is like, ha, 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 literally for like 4 or 5 seconds, everyone. Like same footage back and forth.
Well, you know, you got to cut corners where you can.
So they go all the way down and they find this abandoned warehouse that has broken glass everywhere. We go inside. Team Rocket is on the inside and they are on their Team Rocket iPad. And Meowth is like, man, this baby is in perfect shape. We're right on schedule. And James is like, yeah, these Rock and Roller cannon is pinned and ready. He's like, before a long, Team Rocket will rule the whole Unova region. And they all sit there and they laugh. And then it's out of nowhere. That's where our heroes come in. And Topig is still left out of his Pokeball. And Roggenrola has not been caught. So he's just standing there. And they're like, oh my gosh, it's the twerps. Or as they say in the Japanese version, brat boy.
Yeah, I still prefer twerp to brat boy. I don't know why.
It's because we've heard it for 30 years now.
You're right.
So Meowth is like, yeah, with the help of a friend. And he's like, this guy? Yeah, that's our friend Roggenrola. And if you think you're getting away with this, you're wrong. And Iris is like, stop using the Roggenrola. And Axew is just puts his fist up. He's like, all right, if I were bigger, I would stomp on you.
if I was better trained, I probably would have evolved by now. Anyway.
Yeah, for real. And then Jessie throws out her Wobat to use Gust Attack, and Wobat starts using Gust, and our heroes are like, oh man, that's... And Ash is like, Topig, get him with Ember! And Topig does Ember Attack, misses the first time, misses the second time, misses the third time, and Wobat takes one right to the face in the fourth hit. And Wobat's like, oh, yeah, how about you send out some of your other Pokemon? And Jesse's like, now this is a job for the Roggenrola cannon. And they jump back inside of this big old truck. And it's at this point that they start amplifying this big old machinery. Now, okay, in my head, and I know there's only a few minutes left in this episode, but fire melted that one piece of metal, right, Doug?
Correct.
Why didn't they just use a bigger fire attack on the actual machine and just overheat it?
Well, I mean that
might hurt the Roggenrola, won't it?
Well, right. And even though they're wild Roggenrola, you know, the Roggenrola that's helping them is part of this pack.
Yes.
So If Roggenrola stood by and watched, you know, as the rest of them got burned, you know, he might be ostracized.
PTSD. No.
PTSD. There you go.
No. So, all right. So Team Rocket is powering up this big old machinery, and you see on their computer screen, it's accounting for every Roggenrola that's inside of its little space thing for the cannon. And they're like, oh no, they're building up the core energy. And Roggenrola's like, no, I'm going to save you. And Roggenrola goes over and is jumping up and down. And Silent is like, oh, he must be telling the Roggenrola to stop the attack. Which, okay, I mean, if the Roggenrola can do that, they would have done that.
True.
And Roggenrola is like, oh no. And James is like, all right, everything is at max power. Fire Roggenrola cannon! And it's at this point, Meowth just hits the button, and a big old spear comes out, and the Roggenrola core power is getting shot at our heroes. The other Roggenrola that's with our heroes uses flash cannon, uses a big flash cannon, might I add, and blocks the attack. And
I call shenanigans.
That's what I said too. There's 14 other Roggenrola inside of this machine. You're telling me it's one flash cannon deflected all 14 of the core energy, which is their strongest power? Come on. Come on.
Well, and it's not just that it's 14 versus 1. It's 14 that's their powers being used to full force. It's not like it's 14 and they're half-assing it.
Yes.
So, yeah, I call shenanigans. I mean, I recognize, you know, looking at the counter, I recognize that we only have like 6 minutes left in the episode.
But come yeah, I call on.
Big time shenanigans here.
Yes. So the Team Rocket is like, oh, we are blocked by Roggenrola's flash cannon. Well, you know what? if we're going to be blocked once, then let's go ahead and fire it one more time. We'll show them this amazing power. And Meowth is like, yes, ma'am. And it starts powering up all the Roggenrola again. And the Roggenrola is getting ready to attack. And Ash is like, oh, no, not again. Stop this. Stop everybody. And Ash gets the bright idea, like he does in every scenario. He wants to be the big hero. He thinks putting his arms up and blocking the attack is going to do anything, but it's not. You're going to get yourself killed, Ash. And Meowth.
Okay, he'll just come back before the end of the episode.
For real. They'll cry tears and turn him from stone back into human.
Yeah, there you go.
So,
I mean, it worked once. Why can't it work again?
Yeah, but they don't remember that, Doug.
Wow, this is also true. Son of a bitch. Good catch.
So, but Meowth is like, it's not too late to be taught a lesson. So Meowth is like, I'll kill this little human brat boy. And then all of a sudden, the machine starts deflecting everything. And all the Roggenrola at the exact same time learn how to control their core power. And they stop the core power machine from being used. Now, isn't that core machine, or isn't that machine supposed to force them to use their power against their will? So, I'm confused here. Okay. So, someone explain.
Yes, because if they could override the machine and use their own will in the first place,
that means they were trying to kill these people.
Right, and that means that the machine is null and void.
Yes.
From the jump.
Jesus, I'm confused. They have me confused here, because if it's that point, then clicking the button with Meowth would be null and void, because it wouldn't do anything at this point. It's all the Roggenrola, unless they just get all the power up and then something tickles them from behind and they go achoo and just shoot out their power. But
way to completely kill the premise of an episode. You basically just broke an entire machine down to a feather.
Well, I mean, the Roggenrola are refusing to attack, and now the machine's not working for whatever reason, so meh. So it's at this point Team Rocket is like, well, what the hell is going on here? And Meowth is like, they're controlling their own core energy. And James is like, that's the energy. Now that the energy is being reversed, and Meowth is like, isn't that a bad thing? And they're trying to press buttons, and Jesse is like, oh no. And it's at this point the computer starts reversing itself. You see a bunch of sparks, and then all of a sudden it just starts exploding. And all the Roggenrola just jumps out of the machine with ease now, because they're not being magnetized anymore. And none of them have the little thing on the back of them anymore, by the way. But
yeah, they were able to get free of the suction cups.
Yeah. So Ash is like, oh man, I'm so glad you're all okay. And Jesse and James is like, I wouldn't be so sure about that. Your mask, Nightshade. And James throws out his your mask. Your mask is like, ha ha ha. And Jesse's like, Wobat, use gust. And Wobat uses its gust attack. And Ash is like, T'Pig, ember. T'Pig does its ember attack and overrides your mask and Wobat. And
just crisps them right away.
And I'm going to hand this over to you only because it's your favorite move that Pikachu does, Doug.
No. I'm fine with Electro Ball. It's the electric web that's bullshit. That's not a real move. And No.
So the move can be a ball, but not a web?
Not a web.
Why not a web?
A mouse can make a ball. A mouse can't make a web.
True. Touche.
Yeah.
So Pikachu does Electro Ball, and Roggenrola uses Flash Cannon at the same time, sends it over to Team Rocket. And of course, we all know what happens here. Team Rocket is blasting off again, but they're not blasting off because everything exploded. They have jetpacks, Doug.
Yes, they were prepared for this to fail.
Yes.
Because there's no other reason that you would just have a...
jetpack.
A jetpack ready. I mean, well, okay, maybe they weren't prepared for this to fail, but I think they had to be prepared in the likelihood that something went south.
Yes. It's kind of like how... Like, and I don't want to go dark with this, but maybe along the lines of like how airplanes have like parachute safety, right?
Or that there's two cords on your pack when you go skydiving.
Yes, yes. There you go.
Which I will never do.
I'm doing that at some point.
I will stand and watch it and have 9-1 dial just in case.
All right. I'm going to hand this part over to you, Doug, to kind of finish up the episode here.
So, Meow's, as they're jetting away, Meow says, I guess those rock and roll had lots more oomph than we reckoned for. And, you know, and Jesse's like, it hurts to admit that the mission's a failure. But the Unova region will still be ours for the taking. And once we do, victory will rest on the heads of Team Rocket. And, you know, they actually leave with dignity. And, you know, they're like, oh, we're not fucked. This is just a minor setback.
That's a good way of thinking about it.
Well, until you realize that they're the bad guys.
Yeah. They never win.
So the rock and roller are sitting there and they're like, ah, and it's just big synchronized jumping effort. And we go back to the Pokemon Center that we were at earlier, and all the rock and roller have been checked out, and so have Pikachu and Tepig, and you know, Pikachu gets on Ash's shoulder, and, you know, Ash is like, thanks for your help, Nurse Joy, and, you know, the rock and roller turn around, and they say their version of thanks, and then Mr. Garrison pops back in, and he's like, well, I've completed my report, and I'm going to be sending it over to the water company, and we're going to start the repair process right away, which is bullshit, because if this was reality, nothing would happen within 3 months.
It's a small town. They got a bunch of Pokemon that can do their labor for them.
It's some bullshit is what it is.
Bring on the Machoke and the Machamps.
I'm saying, dude. you know, he's like, you know, the Rock and Roller should be able to return home soon. And then the head rock and roller, I guess, that's how I'm choosing, you know, the one that crashed lunch at the beginning of the episode. He takes off, and they're like, I wonder where he's going. And they go, pardon me, to the middle of a field, and rock and roller's jumping around. Silen's like, I think that rock and roller wants to battle. You know, he's like, don't you remember that you attempted to catch him, you know, 15 minutes ago? And I think and this is what kind of tripped me up, because Silen's like, it looks like rock and roller wants to go along with you, which is ridiculous, because we've seen what happens when a Pokemon just wants to go. They literally just jump in his arms.
No, but they wanted to, this rock and roller wanted to test Ash and just say, all right, well, if you're going to catch me, I want to make sure that you're a great trainer, even though you just saw him take on Team Rocket.
Well,
just say.
And they probably finished this episode and they said, shit, we still have 3 minutes left. Throw a battle in real quick. Nobody will notice. So Ash is like, all right, good shit. And it just so happens that Tepig never went back in his Pokeball. But he's like, I have faith in Tepig. He learned from his mistakes from earlier. He can handle this. And he's like, "You ready, Topig?" And Topig's like, "Bet." And Ash is like, "All right." And Pikachu gets down and is like, "Go, Topig, even though I could probably, but never mind." And
well, I mean, you got to train your Pokemon that are lower level, because Pikachu's at what, like level 75 at this point?
At least 70, 75. So he sends Topig out with a tackle. Raganrola counters with Sandstorm. And then he throws out a Stone Edge. Topig catches another one right in the cheek.
Had to.
It's like, it's, Iris is like, it's super effective. And he's like, maybe taking Topig wasn't a good choice after all. And then this is, you know, this is the point where Doug almost turned off the episode.
Oh, at the very end?
Yes, because, Silent goes, "This battle is starting to become a little too bitter." Like, what? It's just, what, why? What purpose? Why? Other than just to be a Jagaloff. He's like, "Too bitter for my taste." And it's like, son of a bitch. But this time, Topig is able to stand up and shake it off, and he blows out a little bit of flame from his nostrils. And Raganrola, I almost said Ragnarok. is getting ready for Flash Cannon, and Iris is sweating, and Exu is like, "This is about to be some shit." And Ash tells Topig to get ready with Flame Charge, and they meet each other head on, and you know, once again, Raganrola is able to, you know, land on his feet and, you know, hang on. And, Topig obviously didn't take much damage because we didn't even see it until it was getting ready for another tackle.
Yeah.
He meets Raganrola head on
and knocks Raganrola straight back.
And I mean, they're literally just bang, 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 bang.
And Raganrola sits there and just finally gets hit with the perfect tackle, gets knocked all the way back. And Ash takes his Pokeball. He's like, "All right, now's the time." Even though I think Raganrola would have just jumped into the Pokeball at this point. But
yeah. Ash, I think he would have done it before the battle.
For real. And then he's like, "Pokeball, go." And they look at this Pokeball as if Raganrola is really going to bust out of it. And then, bing, they caught Raganrola, and Raganrola is now a part of the team. And this is literally how they end the freaking episode.
Yeah. So this again leads credence to my argument that they were done, and then they realized that there was 3 minutes left.
Yes. And they're like, "Oh, let's go ahead and give Ash another Pokemon." So
that he's not going to use.
No, well, let's not say that yet, because he might end up using Raganrola quite a bit. But I mean, we'll have to wait to find out. I think Raganrola will be a good Pokemon for him to have on his team. So,
well, you have a little bit more faith than I do.
True. We have seen some of the Pokemon in the later episodes that never evolve. So I guess we'll find out. I'm not sure about Raganrola, but we'll see. But that's the episode, Doug. How did you like it, and what would you give it on a scale from 1 to 5? 5 being the best, Doug.
This is probably a solid 4.
Ooh, nice.
I really enjoyed it. It kind of threw us right in the middle of some action. It was a nice reintroduction to, I'm going to say, our daily grind, or our weekly grind in terms of, you know, Kanto and Unova.
1,000%.
Those fine listeners that listen to the Poke Break episode, they'll know that We had a little mini debate between starting at Kanto and starting at Unova.
And I think we made the right choice.
I wholeheartedly believe so.
And I'll go ahead and second that. I'll give this a nice little round four as well. And just like I said at the beginning of the episode, this episode did premiere June 2nd, 2011. And here in Japan and here in the States, September 24th, 2011. So just a couple months apart.
Not too shabby.
No, not at all. And you know what? Normally we don't do this, but I want to kind of take a pause here, not talk about, because I mean, I've seen episode one, but I'm not going to go into anything on Pokemon Horizons. But how hard would it have been to finally, you're bringing in a brand new Pokemon series to have both the English and the Japanese finally be released on the same day? How hard would that have been?
In 2023, not at all.
Because I just think that at this point, because, I mean, we see how fast they're rocking these episodes out in English now. I mean, we're only a couple months apart, which means that by the time it's being released in Japan, the English dub has to be close to being finished already. So why not just release these on the same day? Like, I'm sure we're not getting Pokemon Horizons here in the States in English until close to, let's see, we're recording this on April 16th, until close to like June or the end of June or early July at this point. So I don't know. I just think they had a perfect opportunity and missed it.
You would think they're probably doing their best to work on it in the background.
Yeah, and hopefully at some point, maybe on a break or something, they'll finally align it. But I'm just, it's the perfect opportunity. Like, you've been behind, and you finally caught up to where you're only behind a couple months at this point. And I really just don't think it's that hard to do a dub and the English at the exact same time. So, I don't know. I just want to throw that out there. We'll save the Pokemon Horizons talk for a later episode once I watch part two of the opening series, which I'm glad they divided it up into two different episodes. So I'm just going to throw that out there. I do like that. So, all right. Anything else that you would like to add, Doug?
Nope.
All right, everybody. Well, through, go ahead and say goodbye, Doug.
Hi, Doug.
And this is Professor Chris G telling all of you, don't miss our Orange Islands episode next week, everybody. Have a good night.